Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, those things are shaking and awakening, because they certainly are. There's something that a good investigator always does when they're investigating. They follow the money. Everyone say, follow the money. Yeah, they follow the money. Usually the money trail leads to all kinds of things. It exposes many things. It exposes a person's heart, exposes corporates, exposes corruption. Follow the money. You know, you can tell where the money is distributed, whether a person's a tither, whether he's a giver or a taker. You follow the money, and it will discern the heart of that individual. And in that, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is the means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. But you men and women of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He is the blessed and only Pontiff and King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power forever and ever and ever and ever. And amen and amen. Amen. The love of money is such a powerful scripture, because it, when people begin to love money instead of God's word and God's presence, you know, money can be used for good. Not all money is used for bad. But how you, whether your heart is right with God, is determined how you're going to use that money. You're either going to be a taker or a giver. You're going to be a hoarder or a deliverer. One or the other. In Matthew 21. So we're seeing that if you follow the money, you're going to follow to all kinds of corruption, child smuggling, drug smuggling, prostitution, gambling, addictions, you name it. Cheating, perjury, extortion, prison. Matthew 21 and verse 12. When Jesus began to pursue his enemies, it says in verse 21:12, Then Jesus went into the temple of God. It's amazing, he was pursuing his enemies in the temple of God. And he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold those doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna, son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these people are saying? And Jesus said to him, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Then he left them and went out into the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. So again, in the other scriptures, they talk about him making a weapon or a whip. And he began to drive out the money changers. Why? What was he doing? He was following the money. And the first thing he followed it was in the temple. Because judgment begins in the house of God. Follow the money changers. He pursued his enemy. Well, there is a BRICS nations that are changing the money to dismantle Babylon. These are enemies of Jesus. God is going to use the BRICS nations for him to dismantle Babylon. Then he's going to dismantle them. Hello. Now, let's talk about that for a second. What is the BRICS nations? Turn to Daniel 7, please. BRICS is because there were five nations. It started off at three, but there's five of them now. The first one was Brazil, then there's Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Five of them. It was Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, which is spelled, if you put the first part, it says BRICS. In January of this year, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Iran, and Ethiopia became members of the BRICS nations. That's called 10 nations or 10 kings or kingdoms. Again, the BRICS is 10 kings. Working our currency to replace the petrol dollar. They're working a currency to replace the petrol dollar, which is corrupt. They're taking down. Again, if you follow the money, you're going to follow where the corruption is. The United States has been the head lead of corruption in the world. They've been counterfeiting money with no backing. And they're now being called face to face. Many of the nations are asking for their gold back. And they refuse to give it back because they probably don't have it. Hallelujah. In verse 15 of Daniel chapter 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and visions of my head troubled me. I came near to the one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings, which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now that is the conclusion. But he begins to break it down before this happens. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the other beasts, exceedingly dreadful with its teeth and of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with his feet. And the 10 horns that were on its heads, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. So we have 10 nations right now. In fact, they've invited multiple nations. Some of them have rejected. But doesn't mean that these 10 nations are going to continue to be a part of those 10 nations that God is talking about. Some of them will fall, some of them will be restored, but there'll always be a 10 nation, 10 horn, 10 kingdom that God is going to use. Verse 21. Then I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. And so the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change what? Times and laws or constitutions. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half time. That's 3.5 years. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. I believe that we've already gone through the 3.5 years. We've already been through it. There'll be another 3.5 years of tribulation. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Go to Daniel 7:7. I want to go back a little bit. After this I saw in a night vision, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. This will be the Antichrist. So he will be coming out of this fourth kingdom. Is everybody cool? Go to Daniel 8 and verse 3. Then I lifted my eyes, and I saw, and there standing beside the river was a ram, which had 2 horns, and the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. As I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had 2 horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and he ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his 2 horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore the male goat grew very strong. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it 4 notable ones came up toward the 4 winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as a priest of the host, high priest of the host. By him, the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. Who is this? This is the Antichrist. Because of the transgressions, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices. He cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and a transgression of the desolation and giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be what? Cleansed." The goal. Go to Revelation 17, starting at verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns." What are the ten horns again? Kings. "The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. He will carry the Antichrist," or is the Antichrist. "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, for they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." In other words, because they are not in the spirit, they are still carnal, they're blinded to the things of the spirit, and their names are not written in the book of life. "Here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition." What's eight mean? New beginning. "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast." So the beast is going to give them power for an hour. But they're really not kings. I mean, does everybody understand? They don't have kingdoms. It hasn't been granted to them. But they've been granted authority to do the will of the beast. "These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples and multitudes, nations and tongues. The ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." So again, her own people that served her at one time will turn against her. Why? Because God will put it in their heart. So even many of these kings, or what you call kingdoms, nations, that are associated with the BRICS nations, eventually will turn against the harlot. In fact, they're turning against the harlot right now. because the United States is the major harlot, and they're going to dismantle it by taking away its power of money. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Wow. So again, all 1 hour, kings, but not kings. It will give the beast their power, make war against God's people. They will turn eventually against the harlot. So they won't really be kings. They're kings, but they won't have a kingdom yet. You know, people don't realize that the United Nations and NATO is anti-Christ. They are anti-Christ. And so many countries are relying and putting money into NATO and United Nations. And Trump stopped it when he was in president. He said, we ain't giving you no more money. You guys ain't right. But of course, everybody, all this, you know, the Obamanites and the dummies do it, you know, stuff like that. They give them money. Revelation 18, in verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Now think about this. Is the White House corrupt? It's full of demons and unclean things. And so is the complete government itself. The FBI, all law enforcement, is corrupt. I'm not saying there's not some good people there, but most of the seats are corruption. The Department of Justice is corrupt. Look at all the voting that went corrupt, all the interference of presidential interference, assassins on our own president from our own government. The CIA is corrupt. FBI is corrupt. They refuse to hand over the documentations that Congress has been requiring. Some of them, they got to go to court to get them when they're supposed to be submitting to Congress. They refuse to. They should be all in prison, but nobody imprisons them. If you and I did that, you know, we'd be locked up instantly. With no bail. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she mixed double for her. In a measure that she glorified herself, lived luxuriously. In the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plague will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Then the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when I see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense and frankincense oil and frankincense, wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Now think about this. When the labor unions for the docks were on strike, nothing was able to be brought in. Because I really believe that Trump got involved. There's things that are going on behind closed doors. And they know because of all the things that's going on, especially here in Florida and all the hurricanes and all the disasters globally, that they stepped out of the way and they said, well, wait till after the first of the year, which is they're waiting until after the election. So something was worked out. You know, behind closed doors, Trump made a deal with these guys. The fruit of their soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Takes only God 1 hour. Every ship master, all who travel by ship, sailors and many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke and her burning, saying, what is like the great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the seas became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she was made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus, with the violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and timbrels shall be heard in you any more, shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman or any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of millstones shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth. Whew. So we see that there's going to be a great turnaround. Amen? There's a great turnaround. And one of the things that's getting ready to happen is called Yom Kippur, which means Feast of Atonement, which is God's judgment. And that will be October 11th and 12th. So there's no coincidence of all these things getting ready to happen. All of these judgments, all these cleaning, all this chaos. God has been preparing his people. I believe that we'll be protected by the blood. But many people will lose many things. And sorrow will come to many people and hope that their hearts will be broken so that they repent for having money become their gods. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning a fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Hallelujah. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blaspheming, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will be the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as a faithful creator. Where does the judgment begin? House of God. So I really believe that these storms and everything is happening is awakening people, turning the hearts of people, and it's a time of judgment. It's a time for atonement. It's a time to find out whether you're genuine or genetic. Generic. Like, sorry. Not genetic. Generic. And if you're generic, that means you don't have the faith that God is testing you on. We need to have faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. And how do you build up your faith? Praying in tongues, your most holy, you know, your most holy faith. And worship, speaking God's word, eating God's word. You must have faith. Confessing it, because what you speak is what you eat. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So God wants his children that are genuine. Genuine. Only those that are genuine will be receiving. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what he does not see, what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. That's endurance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also did what? He glorified. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 24:4. Jesus said to them, take heed that no one does what? Deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Everybody's talking about World War III when it isn't going to happen yet. For all these things must come to pass. Must come to pass. Must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places, tornadoes and hurricanes. And all these things that are what? Beginning of sorrows. Beginning of sorrows are what we call birth pangs. Amen? Birth pangs. It must come to pass. Hallelujah. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and attempt to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And his gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. You know, you and I became sign and wonder after we got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine on you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loaf yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Why? If my people humble themselves and turn their ways from wickedness, I will what? Heal their lands. Thank you, Sustainable Green Team. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Praise be to God. And I'm going to close at 2 Timothy chapter 2, 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's why judgment is here now. That's why atonement is happening. Why? So people can repent and turn from their ways. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by them to do his will. Many have been taken captive. You know, I posted something on Facebook. I don't post hardly at all, but I did post something on Facebook. And one of the things I explained some things that were happening. And I said, if you don't understand this, you're considered in the category of the lost. Lost. In other words, with no understanding, they don't get it. They're blinded. They're still deceived. They're still taken captive in their minds. I've had some responses or reactions, I won't say. And there were some nice responses, but there have been some reactions of people who do not understand. I don't care who they are. If they reacted to that, then they have no understanding of it. They're considered one of those who are in the category of lost. Lost meaning deceived, blinded. they might have taken it the wrong way of salvation, but they're lost. They're lost in the carnal system, lost in carnal wisdom and knowledge and understanding, lost in the puffed up minds of talents and love of money. But there's a difference. God is shaking and quaking so that people can awaken and come to the knowledge of the truth, so that money is not their God. Fame is not their God. Their position is not their God. Their title is not their God. Their abilities are not their God. Their God is the one that created them. The true and the only one. And the only way home. The way, truth, and life. His name is Jesus the Christ. The Holy One and His anointing. That's who our God is. Amen? So be prepared. Things are happening. There'll be a crushing, a chaos, and all. But we're not going to be moved. You know, we're not going to be moved. Even if houses get flooded, just do the backstroke. Get out a tube. Enjoy it. Make yourself a Shirley Temple. What an umbrella. Count it all joy. Amen? Because we are more than conquerors. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. But again, we call destructive fire down on Milton. A storm of deception created by humanity and the powers of darkness. But God can use anything. He can direct it anywhere he wants. But Lord, we ask that you'll redirect it in another direction and not harm your people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.